That's right. It's Monday morning, which means it's time for Oh Snap with Packers long snapper Brett Goud. He's joining us on the phone this morning. We're ready to recap a Packers victory. Mr. Goud, I think some people called yesterday's win an ugly win. Is there such a thing as an ugly win in the NFL?
I don't think there's anything as an ugly win. I think a win is a win, and you'll take them any way you can get them. We didn't play our best ball game, but, like you said, we were able to get the win, and that's all that matters. We're able to move more wins in the win column, and, we're getting closer to our goal of reaching the playoffs, and that's all that counts.
To what extent did the 8 starters that missed yesterday's game with an injury have to do with the way the Packers played on Sunday?
I don't think it had any extent. I think, guys just stepped up, and, it wasn't pretty at all times, but we had guys making plays, and, special teams took up a little bit with a block punt and a touchdown, and we were able to do well in the punting game, and then also the offense. The offense played well, and the defense played well at times, so it's just it's kind of a team win, and we can move on from there, and, obviously we need to get better, and we should have taken care of them a little bit easier, but, you got to give credit to them coming in and playing and making a tight game.
I read some articles yesterday or this morning in the aftermath of the game that said some players felt there was no energy out on the field or in the stadium. Did you feel that way?
It was a little down, but, I don't really know if there's any one person in particular to blame for that. I think, obviously we have to draw our own energy every week. You'd like the home games, or obviously you get the crowd noise and everything else to kind of get you a little bit more energy. But for being our first home game at noon, I thought we played pretty well. It's a different schedule, and you think in week 8 that we're just now playing a noon game at home, it's kind of different. But we've got to step up, and it's you got to get up and go. And so now we got to build off of that and, get ready for Arizona.
We're joined by Packers long snapper Brett Goud this morning on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Brett, for the first time this season, the Packers failed on a trick play on special teams with an incomplete pass on a fake field goal or a fake punt. I don't know what formation it was. Did the luck just run out on that play?
I don't think the luck ran out. I think, I think we had a couple guys open, and it's just anytime you run a trick play, it's hit or miss. And, we've been successful so far this year, and, you're bound to not get one. You want to get them all. But, we were able to go out there, and I thought we executed the play fairly well. Obviously, it could have been better, and could have gave us a first down. It's just something else that we can build on. We can learn from it and move forward, and maybe down the road we can do it again and complete it.
I feel like after a win, I've been asking some pretty negative questions, even though we're talking about a win here. So I'm going to try to spin it to the positive here. The news this past week, you signed a new 3-year contract extension with the Packers. Now, that locks you up with specialist Tim Mastay and Mason Crosby all for at least the next 3 seasons. How important is the continuity between the 3 of you being together for that time?
It's awesome. And, it just gives me more confidence to go out there and be able to do my job. It doesn't weigh on me the rest of the year, and it just shows that the Packers have confidence in me. And it's a blessing to be able to work with those 3 guys and be able to come closer together, and, hopefully we can continue to produce at a high level and, just continue to get better each week.
Well, congratulations on signing the new contract. And Brett was also happened to be a captain for Sunday's game. Did you get photobombed by Aaron Rodgers in the background?
Yeah, he ended up doing a little, him and Graham did a little pirate theme, and they put a little eye patch on, which was pretty funny. So you always got to count on them to get in every single picture.
Very good. Now, you actually signed your first NFL contract with the Jaguars. Did you see any familiar faces there on Sunday?
Yeah, I saw a couple of guys that I remember from being down there. Obviously I worked with Scobie whenever I was there, so he was probably the most familiar face I saw, and talked with him, and, everything's going good with him. We just talked about, his family and everything. He's got an 18-month-old child, and, just wished him well, and, wished him well the rest of the year, and to stay healthy. And so, it was nice to be able to get that win against them, and it was even more nice to be able to get the win at home and to move forward, with our goals of what we're trying to do as a team.
Next week, the Packers face the Arizona Cardinals, the last game before a bye week. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you expect from the Cardinals on next Sunday?
Just from the special teams standpoint, I know they got a good special teams unit. I don't really know a whole lot about their offense and defense, but I think it's going to give us a challenge on special teams, and we got to go out there and perform, and that's what we want to do every week. And it's just going to, I'm glad we're playing at home in front of another home crowd, and it'd be great to get to 6-3 for the bye week, and that's our goal.
Well, congratulations yesterday on the win. Congratulations on your new contract. A lot of congratulations to pass around. And thanks for joining us here on Railbird Central. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week after another win.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Brett Goode, Packers long snapper, joining us for Oh Snap with Brett Goode once again this morning here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks to him, and thanks to you, everybody, for joining us here this morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to our live blog director, Jamie Jors, for joining us this morning, getting things going on the live blog. And I see DJ Protege on the live blog. Why does it feel like we lost yesterday? It does, kind of, doesn't it? It was everybody's saying it's an ugly win, and it kind of was. Here's how you look at it. The Packers, yes, they were without 8 starters yesterday who were either on the inactive list or injured reserve. So you kind of point to that as a reason, like, no kidding, they lost, they didn't play exactly the greatest when you're losing that many players. But at the same time, the Jacksonville Jaguars were also without about those many starters as well, either on the inactive list or injured reserve. Of course, their premier player, Maurice Jones-Drew, did not play in the game. So, you look at it that way, both teams without a lot of starters. Well, maybe the Packers still should have played maybe better than they have, considering all things being equal. Both teams were banged up. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. The Packers come away the victory. The old saying, a win is a win. A win is a win is a win. Right? So the Packers now 5-3 on the season. They're on a 3-game winning streak. I mean, these are the positives to take away with the game. And I saw it point out as well, there have been times when the Packers have played poorly and come away with a loss. I think we saw that against the Indianapolis Colts about a month ago. What was it? 3 weeks ago. Not playing very good that game. And coming away with a loss to Andrew Luck and company. But at least this week, they played poorly and came away with a win. And there were plenty of positives to come out of yesterday's game. I think the play of the game, obviously, is the punt block for a touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. Devon House blocks the punt. And then, after that, Desmond Moses recovers it in the end zone for a touchdown. And there you go. That's the play of the game, and probably the difference in the game for the Packers. And so it's the first time the Packers have blocked a punt since 2003. So what is that, 9 years since the Packers have blocked a punt? Seems like I saw it happen yesterday. I'm like, holy cow, it's been a long time since the Packers have blocked a punt. And even longer since the Packers have blocked the punt for a touchdown, all the way since 1990. I think I was in like fifth grade, maybe sixth grade at that time. So long time ago. To see that happen, just fantastic. That's the play of the game. And the news today, and I didn't even catch it at the time, the Packers had 10 players on the field when that happened. The Jaguars can't be looking at it. Got to look at that, just shake their heads. The Packers had 10 players on the field, which, isn't illegal. You can have fewer than 11 all you want. But 10 players on the field and still managed to block a punt for a touchdown. So, You know, there you go. That's the difference in the game, and kudos to the Packers for doing that. And, you know, sticking with the positives here. I thought you got good games yesterday from a pair of players on defense who maybe you don't expect to be like the premier players. I thought if I were giving away my blue chips, red chips, and cow chips, as I used to do at Cheesehead TV, unfortunately I typically don't anymore with my game day duties at Bleacher Report. But anyhow, the blue chips I would give yesterday would go to Brad Jones and Morgan Burnett on defense. You know, both of them had a forced fumble. And in fact, it had been the first time the Packers had forced and recovered a fumble all season long. We're now practically halfway into the season. We are halfway into the season, eight games down now. And that's the first time the Packers have recovered a fumble all season long. Forced by Brad Jones, recovered by Morgan Burnett, ends up setting up a Packers touchdown. So very nice job there. That was a huge play early in the first half there. But, you know, Brad Jones also getting a sack. Morgan Burnett coming on a blitz and getting a sack as well. Both those guys played well. So kudos to them. They are my blue chip performers of the week and the difference makers in the game. You know, both of them causing the Jaguars to lose yardage on offense, both of them contributing to the turnovers. In fact, Morgan Burnett, you know, on his sack, he actually forced Blaine Gabbert to fumble. Unfortunately, the Jaguars, you know, Gabbert did recover that fumble, you know, corralled it and brought it back into his body, but was almost another turnover there as well. So, you know, these are guys I don't probably talk about a whole lot, that nobody talks about a whole lot, but, you know, had to point out their solid play. They deserve it, you know, especially a guy like Brad Jones. You know, what is this, his third start? His second start, pardon me, his third game playing inside linebacker for the Packers. So, I mean, a guy who really still is inexperienced at inside linebacker at that position, you know, and coming through and you know, playing well early on. The early returns are good from Brad Jones. So you have to be encouraged there. Despite losing Desmond Bishop, despite losing DJ Smith, you know, there's reason to be encouraged there. Okay, we've talked about the positives. We talked about the pump block. We talked about Brad Jones, Morgan Burnett. Time to talk about the negatives, why everybody feels like we lost. So yesterday, the reasons the Packers didn't do much on offense, you know, nothing on offense really got going all that much. First of all, the Packers' conversions on third downs were rather poor. They converted 5 of 13 third downs, and were actually 0 of 1 on fourth down. We can talk about that, too. The one fourth down attempt, that was the ugliest play of the game. We talked about it with Brett Kuth there briefly. The fake field goal, fake punt, whatever you want to call it. They originally lined up in punt formation, field goal formation, and then kind of went to a punt look, I guess, because Tim Mastay was back deep, although he, you know, ended up attempting a snap. I have no clue what the Packers were thinking there. I mean, nothing wrong with going for a fake play on special teams, but, I mean, if you're just going to throw a pass, you know, if you're going to fake a field goal and do the little flip to Tom Crabtree, fine, Tim Mastay can do that. But as far as Tim Mastay throwing across his body to the far side of the field, well, let's get Aaron Rodgers in there to do that. I've said it before. I said it on Twitter. I said it this morning in my interview on K107. I've seen plenty of trick plays work where the, you know, a person throws across their body to the other side of the field, but usually that person is a quarterback throwing the ball when it works, not the punter. So yeah, I don't know what happened there, but yeah, the Packers 5 of 13 on third down conversion attempts, just couldn't get the chains moving, couldn't get anything going on offense. The Packers average yards per play The whole entire game, 3.7 yards a play on pass plays. They were averaging 4.8 yards per attempt. You know, just nothing going. Even when they were completing passes, so frequently they were short. So many times, like, you know, what Randall Cobb, just look at his statistics. In fact, I'll pull it up here quick because I have it on my computer right in front of me. Randall Cobb finished with 5 catches, but they only went for 28 yards. 28 yards. So, you know, certainly, you know, even when he caught the ball, they didn't go anywhere. They were so near the line of scrimmage that, you know, Randall Cobb could only get 3, 4, 5 yards at a crack sometimes. I mean, it's a couple times more than that, certainly. And hey, the best offensive play of the game, I think, might have been Randall Cobb's touchdown reception from Aaron Rodgers, in which Rodgers had to scramble out of the pocket. Cobb had to buy some time, makes a move on the defender, catches the touchdown, has to go down to his, you know, knees to get it, you know, ends up sprawling out. Great play, that fantastic play there. In fact, the pass protection for Brian Bulaga to block on the move outside the pocket as the pocket was shifting with Aaron Rodgers was fantastic as well. So here you go. Jamie on our live blog, Jamie George, saying that the 10 longest plays yesterday for the Packers, 31 yards, 26 yards. And that sounds good, right? But after that, 20, 14, 12, 12, 11, 9, 9, 9. 9 yards is one of the longest plays. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have long plays of 9 yards. I mean, certainly a 9-yard play is nothing to... those are positive plays, but when those are the longest plays of some of the longest plays of your game, of the entire game, not a good thing. Not a good thing. You want a couple in there that are, you know, 20-yard completions to JerMichael Finley, James Jones, Randall Cobb. Just weren't seeing enough of those yesterday. You know, if Aaron Rodgers' game yesterday, Aaron Rodgers did enough to win, did enough to get by, but he throws for less than 200 yards on the entire game. First time that's happened in a long time. When was the last time you remember Aaron Rodgers throwing for less than 200 yards? Just doesn't happen very often. I mean, a game in which he played, not a game in which he came out injured or anything like that. So, anyhow, question here from John on the live blog. I haven't watched closely enough, but is Saturday just done? I keep hearing about him, but what is everybody else's thoughts? Is he a big reason why the run game isn't going? We should break down the run game a little bit here. That didn't help either. The Packers committed themselves to the run game yesterday, and, you know, kudos to Mike McCarthy for attempting to call a balanced offense, and I have no problems with the play calling at all whatsoever. I actually like that when they try to do that, even though it's not working, because it keeps teams honest, helps, you know, keep the play-action pass in effect and you know, keeps teams honest there in terms of respecting it. But the Packers yesterday, so here's the statistics with the run game. Alex Green had 22 carries for 54 yards. That's an average of 2.5 yards per carry. The running game not going anywhere for the Packers yesterday. 2.5 yards a carry from Alex Green. It's the third consecutive game for Alex Green. He's gotten over 20 carries. There appeared to be at times missed reads by Alex Green, where if he would have just read a backside cut, or if he just would have moved over a little bit to his right or his left, show a little bit more vision, he could have gained some more yards. But there was just so many times where he would gain 2 yards, and that was it. You know, that was a disappointment. And of course, the run blocking in front of him certainly wasn't, you know, anything special. And you know, all of a sudden, Jeff Saturday is being a subject of scrutiny. And a lot of that is coming from the article Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the respected Bob McGinn, publishes an article on Jeff Saturday. So everybody takes notice all of a sudden. And, you know, Jeff Saturday is what he is. He's not going to be replaced this season anytime soon. His play isn't warranting that. So, you know, he's not what he was, you know, what he once was at his prime with, you know, Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. So don't expect that. You know, what Jeff Saturday is he can still be good in pass protection. He's so smart and so knowledgeable and so aware. In fact, some of the biggest things Jeff Saturday has provided to the Packers this season have nothing to do with blocking whatsoever. His biggest moments were the Rams game last week when he twice caught players offsides and snapped the ball to Aaron Rodgers on long completions that end up in touchdowns, some of them. So there's that, you know, Jeff Saturday brings to the table. Another big play he made was the recovery of a fumble of Cedric Benson way back in Seattle, back when the Packers were back up within their own, 5-yard line? So just smart, savvy play like that is what he provides sometimes. I mean, and on top of that, he is a decent enough pass blocker to get by. He's not as good as he once was. He's not athletic as he once was. But, you know, that's what you get from Jeff Saturday. He is a liability in the run game. You know, there's no way to put it. You know, he can't make the reach blocks anymore, as Bob McGinn pointed out. He has a tough time getting to the second level. He's just, the athleticism just isn't there. So, I mean, the Packers just have to understand the limitations and try to help him out as much as possible. They have to avoid running up the gut as much as possible. And I understand you can't avoid it forever. You just got to get by with Jeff Saturday. He does have his positives, and he does have his negatives, and you just do what you got to do. Get by the season, and hopefully the Packers really got to... I don't know what they're going to do to address the center position next year, but, you know, that's what they got to do. You know, they're going to have to get a center somehow. I don't know if you're... going with Evan Dietrich Smith next year. And in fact, the unsung hero of yesterday's game, I think, was Evan Dietrich Smith. I love the way the Packers used him as a extra tight end. Heck, my favorite play of the game was when they sent Evan Dietrich Smith in motion to the backfield to line up at a fullback spot. He ends up cracking back. I mean, I don't know if I really want to call it a crack back, but he lines up on the left side, ends up, you know, cutting to his right to make a block and just blows a defender up. So that was really nice to see. And but anyway, so he was my unsung hero of the game, lining up at tight end several times yesterday, for the what we've seen for the first time all year, really. I can see the question on the live blog: why no Cobb in the backfield at all? And Leviticus 2:68 basically answers the question: a personnel shortage. Yeah, I mean, with the Packers missing so many people yesterday. Didn't really go to that Cobra formation too much with Randall Cobb in the backfield. They did a couple times, didn't they? But Randall Cobb didn't get any carries. I still would have liked to have seen the Packers, you know, do that a little bit more. I like to see, you got to try to get the ball in Randall Cobb's hands more often. He's got to get over 10 touches a game. And it'd be nice if one or two of those were carries. He didn't get any carries yesterday. Not that the Packers have to line up in that Cobra formation a lot, but gosh, you know, just give him a carry once or twice a game. I think it's going to help your run game out a lot. But yeah, I do understand, limited by injuries, can't go with that all the time. They certainly needed Cobb to line up in the slot a lot more often, out wide a lot more often than usual, without the availability of Greg Jennings, of Jordy Nelson. So there's that to take into consideration. So, you know, we looked at all the negatives on offense, from third downs to the failed punt formation pass to the pass blocking, pass, you know, run blocking, you name it. Pass blocking wasn't all that great. Aaron Rodgers only got sacked twice yesterday, which isn't terrible, but he did take a couple hits that you didn't like to see. And if I do remember, wasn't the play Aaron Rodgers fumbled on, the sack he took and fumbled, wasn't that kind of due to the play of Jeff Saturday, as well as I remember, without yet going back looking through the film, going back and looking at that in detail? But yeah, so yesterday, Aaron Rodgers fumbled for the first time in two seasons. He hadn't fumbled last season during his MVP year, 2011, didn't lose a fumble the entire year. This year, up until yesterday, hadn't fumbled the entire year. So the first time in two seasons that Aaron Rodgers has lost a fumble, and almost lost a second had it not been a penalty on the Jaguars. So yeah, not a good day yesterday is there as well. So but looking for positives here on defense, the Packers defense stiffened up when they had to. They got some good play in crunch time. They kept the Jaguars out of the red zone. What was it that the Jaguars only converted on one of three red zone chances? So it's the defense did good enough to get by. They were without Charles Woodson, of course. And once again, I thought Jerron McMillan really looked good. Jerron McMillan is really good coming up, moving forward. Anytime you see him moving forward, he's making positive plays. Now, I don't know so much about anytime he's got to move backwards and trying to cover people in coverage. And thankfully, the Packers have kind of limited those situations in which he does do those kind of things. He's not on the field, or he's not asked to, you know, cover a whole lot. Or, you know, be one of a two deep safeties or anything like that. So John asked, why does he not start? That's why, because he's limited in his pass coverage. So what they try to do is they try to get MD Jennings in those situations, you know, where it's third and long. You know, he's going to line up as one of those deep safeties with Morgan Burnett. And MD Jennings is probably better than that. Than Jerron McMillan. But, you know, when they need a safety to play in the box, come up and stuff the run, McMillan does that really well. And you know, he'll come along. Both those guys, their games will become more diversified. I'm sure he'll get better as in pass coverage as time goes along. But that's kind of where Jerron McMillan is at in his development right now. Wendy asks on the live blog, can someone tell me why it took so long to put in Donald Driver? And yes, kudos to Donald Driver yesterday, coming up with the touchdown pass, Mr. Dancing with the Stars, a guy who has hardly played this season for the Packers or played sparingly. Yes, he got the touchdown back in week two against the Bears, which was nice as well. But yeah, yesterday was probably the biggest role Donald Driver has played on the Packers all year long, so good job to him for getting that touchdown. Again, just a situation where he's not getting the snaps because, you know, he's fallen behind guys like James Jones and Randall Cobb. So yesterday he was the third wide receiver at best, and it kind of appeared as if he was sharing time with Jarrett Boykin. Jarrett Boykin getting his first career reception yesterday, so congratulations to him on that. Hopefully there will be many of those in times to come. Oh, and here's a little pet peeve of mine. As long as we're talking about wide receivers, and it happened yesterday to Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, I believe it was the third quarter, had caught a short pass from Aaron Rodgers and tried to bounce the play to the inside, trying to look for a bigger game when he was only 1 yard away from a first down. Should have just put his shoulder down, should have just gained that one hard-fought yard. But instead, he tries to make a big play, tries to go inside, ends up, you know, coming up a yard short, forces a third and one. That's the play where Alex Green was stuffed on third and one, where he kind of tripped behind Brian Bulaga, and then the Packers end up missing a field goal on that drive. So that was just the the comedy of error drives for the Packers yesterday. That was really ugly. And Mason Crosby on field goals continues to look ugly with his, you know, slicing that kick yesterday from only, what was it, 32 yards out? But anyway, going back to the wide receivers here for a second. This is kind of this trend I'm seeing with the Packers wide receivers this year. I think James Jones was guilty of it the last game or the game before that, trying to turn a short reception into a big play instead of just putting the shoulder down, getting the first down. Greg Jennings was guilty of it when he was playing. He's always trying to look for that big play. It's just becoming a pet peeve of mine to see these guys just, you know, try to make the big play instead of getting the first down. Just get the first down. Get the first down. You don't have to turn it into a 50-yard reception every time. It's not always going to happen. And just so many times they're coming up short and, you know, not a good thing. So I want to stop seeing that. I want to start seeing them just get that drive for that first down. Just show that extra effort, and I'd be more impressed with that. What was I talking about here? Mason Crosby, you know, special teams yesterday, basically a negative outside of the punt block for a touchdown, which was great by, you know, Devon House and recovered by Desmond Moses. But then the ugly knuckleball, well, it wasn't really a knuckleball, but he sliced that field goal, Crosby did. The problems were earlier in the year that he was having problems from, you know, just long distance. You know, he was putting too much into his 50-yard plus efforts. And, you know, I could buy that. You know, maybe, you know, those long distance kicks, you got to put a little extra oomph on the ball. But yesterday it happens with a 32-yard field goal, and you're like, oh, goodness, there it is again. So, I mean, yeah, Mason Crosby has to get this figured out. Just, we don't need the English on the ball. Just, you know, hit that thing straight on, especially when you're shorter than 50 yards or shorter than 40 for that matter. And, you know, I don't know. John asked, what's going on with him? I don't know what's going on with Mason Crosby. Time to get the shrink out, I guess, here. So, and of course, again, the ugly fourth down fake field goal, fake punt pass attempt by Tim Mastay. I blame that more on the coaching staff calling that play than anything. Not the best play call there. If you want Aaron Rodgers to throw a pass, get Aaron Rodgers out on the field to throw a pass. So, what would have been great, actually, is if they fake the field goal and then just punted it. Just had Tim Mastay punt it, pin him inside the 10-yard line like he's so good at doing. You know, that would have been the better outcome, right? It's past 9 a.m. here, folks. Thank you for joining us so much here this morning at Cheesehead TV. Thank you to Brett Goode for joining us as he does every Monday here at Railbird Central. So we'll be looking forward to talk to him next week after the Arizona Cardinals game. Looking forward to this Wednesday. We'll be talking, as we do every Wednesday, to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, who's going to help us look back at the Jaguars game and look forward to the Cardinals game. So looking forward to that. And so every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here, folks, make sure to join us here at Cheesehead TV for Railbird Central. So that'll do it for today. We'll see you later. Got all sorts of stuff coming up at Cheesehead TV. Coverage, game coverage, features, you name it. There's already post-game stuff up there. So when our homepage goes back to normal, make sure to check out all that information as well. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jores, I'm Brian Kiravu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.